Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's always a pleasure to welcome you to the Close-Up Radio Experience, which is extraordinary. We have an opportunity here during our 30-minute broadcasts to celebrate and showcase amazing people, people who are doing extraordinary things to make life easier for other people, to allow us to explore ourselves and expand our knowledge base, and also a little bit in terms of learning about who we are and the wonderful contributions we can make to society and to ourselves. And the experts, the incredible people that we seek out and find and celebrate on Close Up Radio are people with unique perspectives, extraordinary skill sets and talents and education, and people who come from a vast variety of perspectives and wisdom and cultural influences and so much more. Somebody who fits that bill and so much more is our very special guest, who we absolutely love and find a great joy speaking with, and somebody I had an opportunity to meet personally at our television station studio with an in-depth interview, television video interview we did, is Dr. Martha Latz. We've been talking about so many extraordinary things, and also what I've been really enjoying when we chat together is we've been focusing the individual episodes that we do together on themes, things that are happening topically that are very relevant to today. We will be having very soon a Valentine's-themed episode coming up on our next broadcasts. So stay tuned for that, because that's going to be really, really perfect. How to get through it, how to deal with it, how to really enjoy it, and so much more. So stay tuned for that. There's a little teaser there for you that Cupid will be striking Close Up Radio on our next episodes with Dr. Martha Latz. But she really is an extraordinary psychotherapist, life and relationship coach, founder of a unique therapy center, and that is based in Boca Raton, Florida. For nearly 30 years, she has provided an emotionally supportive environment to help individuals and their loved ones navigate challenging life transitions. We all have them. None of us can avoid them. Sometimes we can create some of them. Sometimes they're created for us. Life comes at us, in a New York minute. A unique therapy center encompasses the whole person. Everything works together for the greater good, and one small change can benefit the individual. Because, you know, Mother Nature adores diversity. There are birds with feathers that don't fly, so obviously nature works very hard to make you the diverse person you are. You're unique with unique ideas of how you orient to the world. All of us experience fear of the unknown, but our biggest fear is what we are unknown to ourselves, to overcome our challenges. We've got to shift our perspective to embrace our uniqueness and creativity. Dr. Martha Latz helps people do that. She focuses on three aspects of her work, which is effective communication, listening skills — that's very important, especially these days, everybody's talking at one another, not really listening — and also reaching balanced solutions. She weaves both traditional and holistic approaches to fully address the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. She thinks what has been lost is the art of conversation. I agree with her 100%. What she wants is for people to understand that, you know, whatever they're going through, they're not going through it alone. There's somebody out there that has a listening ear and listening heart to honor the experience, their experience. And she wants to be that voice for them. She has been for so many. And she wants to be that place where, you know, they know their story is valuable and they are honored. Dr. Latz's clients, they really range from simple communication challenges to the trauma of grief and abuse. And her goal is to guide clients towards healthier relationships with more effective coping skills. The issues, she says, are as diverse as the clients, but this is a judgment-free zone. What he tries to do is allow the person to feel safe enough to take a peek into who they really are. Maybe the first time they're doing that, she sort of sets that stage of comfortability and trust that allows them to do that and to realize it's not so scary. We're relating to each other at a soul level, she says, and that's where the healing begins. It's my pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio our very special guest, Dr. Martha Latz, as we continue our conversations together here exclusively on the broadcast. Dr. Latz, thank you very much for joining us here on the program. It's always a delight to have you with us, and we welcome you to this episode this Monday.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much. I so look forward to our conversations on Monday. It's always a pleasure, and thank you for that wonderful, warm introduction. I had to look over my shoulder to see exactly who you were talking about. but it was really great. So thank you. I appreciate that. And I just want to set out a little reminder for Kobe Bryant and their and the family. That was we've lost a great person, and we have lost a great person. But you said meeting on the soul level, and I just want to just talk about that just for a brief moment. Psyche comes from the Greek word, and it translates, believe it or not, as soul. So psychology, psychotherapy, all of that and the modalities there are really designed, and it's for the soul level. In case our listeners didn't know that, I always found that fascinating for myself when I first started out, that it really is talking about and to the soul. So, So there's a little factoid.
Yes, no, it's really, really important. And it's a wonderful way to begin this particular episode. And I love how these episodes are so relevant. And I encourage folks to go back in time on Close Up Radio and to hear all the different shows we've done. We've done some extraordinary shows that really make an impact. I love this Monday habit we have here of broadcasts. I look forward to it. I know our audience does as well. And, you know, even in daily conversations, a lot of us, we're always in some sort of performative state, conversations where, you know, we're just waiting for our turn to speak. We're not really listening. We're not absorbing. It's just our turn to get what we want to say out and then go on from there. In many cases, you might be the first person that's actually listening to somebody, you as the doctor, first person to let them know their story has validity. That's really, really crucial, and that's important. That's a key nugget to what you do, right?
Yes, I would say yes. That's a cornerstone for me in what I do and how I do what I do.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dance step or something. But basically,
right.
basically our stories, you know, that we have. What I have found over the course of time is that people are really relaying the stories of them and people's experience of them. Instead of it just being that person's interesting point of view of me, the person grabs that story and holds on to it. And so when we talk together, it's like, how did you come to the idea that you're a big procrastinator? Well, you know, I've been told that. And there's the key. I've been told that. And so it's like, okay,
yes.
So how long have you been told that? And do you not get anything done? And then we can go there and say, and then I usually find out, especially if that's a little bit of a theme, is that it's not that they're a procrastinator. They want to have all the information before they move on a particular subject, and it comes across as procrastination. And then there is some of us that just do procrastination. We don't want to do it, such as, you know, taxes. But the main core is that they grabbed onto that story about them, and it's really not their story. So, you know, it's kind of good to look at their story and kind of good to have them talk to me about that, and that where did they, and how did they see themselves? you know, when we start having our those internal conversations with ourselves, and we've all had them, Jim, right? I know I have, where you're going over and over and over again, and you're writing the narrative as you're going, and you had said, you know, we're performing. Yeah, we're performing because we're trying to carry both sides of the conversation and be the observer as well as the participant in the conversation, and that can get really crazy. And we don't come to any conclusion, but we're thinking that we've done it so much and so often that our significant other, our partner, our spouse, our kids, our boss know exactly what we're talking about, and they have no clue.
Right.
And no input.
Exactly. And sometimes it can be we approach it the wrong way. We approach it as if it is a competition, like we have to win the argument, like instead of it being a conversation, it becomes a competitive debate, and I'm going to win it, and I'm going to get my point across, and that's it. And that can really be, you know, depending on the situation and the person and the relationship and everything else, that can be very detrimental because nothing gets done and there's no balance. And the conversation should be a conversation that's give and take, not a competitive debate, right?
Well, that's 100% correct, because when we start getting into competition, we start making a scorecard. We start our listening has stopped. We are mounting our response, our defense, and we're not really hearing what else could be out there. You might be missing, and when you're in that mode, an opportunity. You may be missing more information, because to make a more informed decision. You know, we live in a society, I think, Jim, that's highly competitive. You know, we've got it's out there all over the place. It's social media. People are right now just you know, on Facebook, on their other social media accounts, they're starting to post things about Valentine's Day, and we're about 3 weeks away from Valentine's Day, but they're starting to post what they're doing, what they're not doing. You know, so all of a sudden, there's no dialogue. We're thinking, how can I outdo, and how can I showcase who I am? And maybe you don't need to showcase who you are or your relationship. You may be just showcasing yourself. Maybe that you have this wonderful ability to listen without judgment.
Very important. That's a whole other element too. Yeah, the social media creates this whole element of got to top the other person, got to compete. I need to be doing what they're doing, if not better. And even on social media, a lot of times people aren't even like really absorbing or appreciating what the other person is even sharing or posting, because they're so busy doing the posting and the quote unquote, sometimes even bragging. And that's translating, that's blending into how the society is operating in many ways off of social media as well. It sort of bleeds into that daily routine of life. You know, there's another thing too that I know is a big part of what you do in helping people really realize this and appreciate it, value it, and achieve it. And that's really the notion of forgiving yourself, because who you are is so miraculous. There's only one you. There's only one Dr. Latz. There's only one Jim Masters. We all have unique things to bring to the table. Similarities in many ways, oftentimes, when we're open to realizing and appreciating similarities. But any differences, we should be appreciative as well, because we are all miraculous. So all things, you know, that had happened for you to be maybe sitting in an office, having a conversation with somebody like you, this meaning the person in the audience or your client, being in that office with Dr. Latz, really is a miraculous thing and a great first step. Let's start there. Take us through that the forgiveness and appreciating the fact that, you know, you are miraculous. Each one of us is.
Oh, wow. That is, that's a whole that's a whole approach to sit back, because in my experience, what I have found is what we're trying to forgive ourselves for is really something that we didn't do. It's something that somebody said we did, or somebody that perceived, and it's a perception. Sometimes we've done things, but then, you know, it's what seems to come as a surprise to many people is when they're talking about forgiving, or I can't forgive myself that, and I just ask them, oh, well, are you not human? Because we as humans, we make mistakes, or we make things that didn't come out the way we wanted it to come out. And when we make a mistake like that, we can really lock into that. And it's like, okay, would you make that mistake again, or, you know, choose that path, or choose, no, I wouldn't. Okay, so what did you learn? And so it's being able to unpack and talk the experience is basically the first step of being able to realize, hey, I'm human. Hey, I've said I'm sorry. This is what I won't do again. Having somebody to be able to bounce that off of, and, you know, that's kind of like what goes on, is that we're talking, that we're looking at that, and I always offer something very unique, a very different perspective. It's not either or, it's a both and. You know, you've learned something.
That's important.
So what have we,
right.
Yeah, so what have we learned? When you acknowledge that you made a mistake, you've learned something, you've said you're sorry, and you're going to do something different, those are the steps towards forgiving yourself.
And that's very, very important, because oftentimes when you aren't able to forgive yourself, a lot of times you won't forgive others as well, because you're holding this sort of self-loathing or resentment within, and then the other person doesn't even know why you're responding to them the way that you are, but it's a almost dislike of yourself that carries over into how you, and that can stem back to childhood. I mean, there's many studies on that as well. What are the types of challenges? And again, it isn't cookie cutter. There's a broad approach, and people have all kinds of different things that they deal with in life. We all do, every single one of us. But what are some examples of some of the types of challenges that your clients present with when they are initially first meeting with you? What sort of brings them to the unique therapy center? And when they come, do they all, when they're dealing with this situation of confronting the fact that it's time to, you know, connect with Dr. Latz, are they all excited and exuberant? Or sometimes are they hesitant, fearful, resistant? They know that they need to do this work. They know that it's time, but they're unsure. And I would imagine you sometimes can even be a little resistant in the beginning. Tell us a little bit about all of that, the approach and the different scenarios and the challenges that some of the clients face, and how you work with them individually to overcome and live through so much.
All right. The first thing is when they come in, they don't know what to expect. On the intake, I'll ask, there'll be a question, what is it that you want to get out of our time together? And they'll put down, I want to have peace, or I want to be able to communicate, or and they'll enter in with an idea or an issue that they think that I want to hear. But what's very interesting is that as we establish, you know, that this is a safe environment for them, and that they can say whatever they want to say here, and it's safe, it won't go any further, it really unfolds. I have people that have come in that have suffered, and they're dealing with adult PTSD, and they're not coming back for their life being threatened, but they realize that there's another issue of neglect that they experienced in childhood that's preventing them from fully engaging in their relationship that they have now. Or I'll have someone who, is trying to grieve the loss of their partner the way, quote, everybody else in the bereavement group is telling them that they should grieve. Or I'll have someone else who will come in and they just say, you know, I'm not happy and I don't know why I'm not happy. I'm hoping you'll help me understand that. And so one of the things I'll say to all of that cross spectrum like that, or couples that want to communicate they're not having and the real issues they're not having any kind of intimacy, is that, you know, I'll work just as hard as you're going to work, but I'm not going to work any harder. And I had someone leave the office last week, and over their shoulder they said, "I'm so glad you work just as hard as I do and not any harder. Bye." And left. And so it was like, okay, I made my point. But a lot of that comes about is that a lot of times they don't have the words to communicate what it is they really want to communicate deeply, what it is that they really want to forgive themselves for, or to understand why that is occurring in their life. And I find myself being that person that either helps them with the wording of the concept. I usually put out, you know, an idea, and then they'll make it their own. And that's the biggest. Is that answering your question? I've got about 15 things. I have about 15 things running around in my head.
That's why it's great that we have a series of episodes for people to really follow us on, because it's every single one is unique and important. I think one thing that you did say that's really important that really stuck out as soon as you said it is how sometimes in those initial stages of when they are consulting with you or you're consulting with them, how they sometimes in the beginning answer things or present things in ways that they think will please you, giving you answers that they think you will want to hear and you will enjoy. Sometimes they're polished answers. Sometimes they're presenting things in a little bit more of a rosier approach than it really is in reality. And sometimes that can come from having to please other people and not concentrating on pleasing themselves and satisfying their own needs. They've always had to please the teacher, the parents, people, coworkers, employers, everybody. So even when they are dealing with Dr. Latz, they want to please her. They don't want her to look down at them or bad at them or find anything vulnerable or an issue. And you, I would imagine, with your keen sense of humanity, can really cut through that and really pick up on that easily. And you create this trust to allow them to be real, be authentic, be open. It's okay. They don't have to put a rosy approach on it and give you the answers that they think that you would want to hear because they need to please Dr. Latz, right?
That's a very good point there, Jim. I'm thinking about one individual that really will talk to what you just said. People come in and it's what they expect, what they think I expect, or they come in and it's like I don't want to be rejected, so I want to make sure that Dr. Latz is going to like me. And so I remember this one, I think we spoke about it a while ago, this one young woman who came in and we were not having by the third meeting what was happening. She was looking on the ground and she was looking and she was not looking and engaging with me just face to face. And I got on the ground and I looked up at her, you know, I got as low as I could, lower than her. And she burst out laughing and she said, "You passed the test." And I said, "What test?" And she said, "Well, you know," she said, you first off," and she's a highly, highly intelligent young woman. And she said, "First off, you didn't hone in on why I wasn't looking at you. I said, mm-hmm. I didn't, because I thought maybe there was something really interesting on the rug that I missed or a pattern that I didn't see. And I said, so why would I do that? And she, it was like, you know, break it, because everybody was and gave her a heavy diagnosis, and that just wasn't what it was. It was, are you focusing on what I'm doing, meaning the behavior, looking down, not looking and engaging, or are you really listening to what I've said? And when she was mm-hmm. doing that, you could be confused and you could be honing in on that and making a clinical judgment, you know, that she's mm-hmm. got an avoidant type of personality. What I was picking up is that she was disclosing a heavy assault issue that she had experienced.
Mm. Mm.
So it was like, I wasn't looking at that, and that's what she said, you stuck it out. You stuck it out. You passed the test, and that opened up an avenue for her to deal with the trauma of the sexual assault, and then to move on. And she's thriving. She is absolutely thriving. But it's
huge.
Yes, it is huge.
Right.
Absolutely.
You weren't
huge.
Judgmental. You didn't size her up in a way that would shut her down and have her feel attacked, criticized. You said, okay, she's exhibiting certain things here. Might not even necessarily be, you know, the underlying reason of why she's looking down and doing the things she's doing. Those might be a symptom of something deeper that has happened to her or that's continuing to happen to her. And you were able to separate the looking at the floor and other mannerisms from what could be a myriad of different things that are very crucial, very deep in her life that she isn't expressing immediately, though she's looking at the floor. So instead of jumping on, why are you looking at the floor? I'm sitting up here, you know, not going to have a conversation unless we look at each other. You
right.
went well beyond that, and you realized and gave her the time to realize that there's something deeper underneath all of that. That's a brilliant approach, and that's one of the many reasons why you're so unique at what you do. You don't size them up in 6 seconds and say, oh, here's another person that's looking at the floor. You really look for ways to approach it where you see the humanity in the person and you can realize that there's process of elimination. It's got to be one of these different things that maybe when we get into the conversation, we'll start to slide out from them as they reveal more about themselves, right?
That's correct. And then I went back and I looked at the intake form again, and what she put down is that I was told I had to be here. I was mandated
mm-hmm.
to be here. By
mm-hmm.
my parents. So it's like if I had focused on her, you know, avoiding me, and I wouldn't have picked up on what was really there, because when
she would have shut down. Yeah.
Yes. What happens when a person is assaulted? There is a shame piece that the victim picks up, and they feel like they don't feel like they're worthy to be looked at or to look to
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a whole other issue that's there. So that was the one
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuck out with me, or another one that came in and wasn't wearing shoes.
Mhm.
And walking around mm-hmm. on the street without wearing shoes, and it was a deviant type of behavior too. And it's like,
mm-hmm,
okay,
right.
So there must be a reason why this person is not wearing shoes. And by the second time, I didn't comment on it. And by the second time they came back, they still weren't wearing shoes. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
So I asked them if they had been on the beach, and they said, no. And I said, oh,
mm-hmm.
you just like the feel of grass on your feet? No,
mm-hmm.
not particularly. But it
mm-hmm.
was that was their way of avoiding what they wanted to talk about in therapy. And I was about the fourth therapist that they had been to.
Yes, and finally they came across somebody who,
you know,
you were taking the time, right? You didn't jump right in. You were coming at it gingerly, coming at it in a protective way, coming at it in a way that wasn't aggressive, and you were coming at it in a logical way, but again with that humanistic approach. That again is why you're so effective at what you do, because you really sometimes in the methods that you use, which I've deduced on my own in doing these conversations with you, is you almost find these unique and really cool ways for through these conversations and questions like you just shared with us now, you almost create this atmosphere where they end up picking up a mirror, not, you know, literally, but figuratively,
yeah,
and looking into the mirror. There's some of those questions you ask give them the ability to reflect that mirror on themselves to see what it is that the issues are and what they've been avoiding and things of that nature without you saying, here, look in the mirror. That's you. This is your situation. Through your approach, they end up lifting up the mirror and looking at themselves, something they might not have done in a long time, if ever, and sort of finding these answers deep within on their own through your leading them, through your making them comfortable, through your approach, which is amazing.
Well, you know, I think that that's, I thank you for the compliment, Jim. I, you know, it's just like, I just passed over it. I didn't want to pass over it. That was I'm just honored with how you articulated that to me. But, you know, that's the whole point of it, whole point. People want to talk, but they've been so shut down, and they're not talking in the manner that people want them to talk, and they're not fitting into these preconceived ideas of how they should be presenting themselves. And, you know, for me, I look at a person or meeting a person or seeing a person is that this is an adventure. This is going to be a great adventure. I get to meet somebody who doesn't look like me, doesn't think like me, who may not even dress like me, may not speak like I do, but they are so rich in their life and everything that they have gone through and everything that they have experienced and everything that they have overcome to get them to the point where they're at. And how honored I am that they include me on this journey with them. So that if I, in
That's
some
right.
small way, can affect a change for them so that they can go on to reach their ultimate goal, to reach where
mm-hmm.
they want, or go beyond what they thought that they couldn't do, you
mm-hmm.
know, what they couldn't do in life, and finding out that they could do it, but they're not doing it in the manner that everybody says that they should be doing it.
Exactly.
You know, we wouldn't have this fabulous artist or these fabulous athletes. I mean, athletes, they have to play by the rules, you know, on whatever sport they're
mm-hmm.
doing. But they also have to be open, and they have to find their rhythm and what works for them so that they would be able to continue when they're not practicing with their team or working with that, so that they continue
right.
to hone their athleticism. It's the same
right.
way with people. You know, take
That's
my
right.
experience, and can you show me what was the benefit in me experiencing that my partner just walked out on me and with not so much as a bye. I came home and they
That's
were gone.
That's right.
What's in that experience? And so it's like, okay, let's take a step back and figure out where the communication broke down, where perhaps we need different skills, different listening skills. A lot of times people will say nobody ever has ever presented that. To me, it's like one woman, she came in and she said, you know, that she's in a group and they say that she has to move on. And I said, how's that working for you, that statement? And she says, it's not working very well because I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I said, well, how about we recraft that? How about we recraft that and we talk about mm-hmm. it as what's next? And
that's
she grabbed onto it, and the what next was she ended up going and joining an improv group and has opened herself up. We're moving on. She kept looking at that for 6 months to join the improv group, but didn't want to do that because it would be moving on. So then the thing that she was moving on from is her, you know, the death of her, mm-hmm. her partner.
Amazing.
What's next is, okay, what's next is I can join the improv group. She's not telling me to move on. She's telling me what's next.
That's right.
Is that a good descriptor for you?
Fantastic descriptor. Absolutely. It's just shows that you take the time to really figure it out and help them figure it out together collectively. We're talking with Dr. Martha Latz of a Unique Therapy Center, and encourage you to go to her website, explore, connect with her. She's very approachable. You can go to A, uniquetherapycenter.com. That's a uniquetherapycenter.com. She's extraordinary. Dr. Latz, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure exploring with you and learning and having these conversations, and looking forward to the next episode as well as we get closer to Valentine's Day and some of the things that we deal with, good, bad, and indifferent, perhaps, with Valentine's approaching as well. Thanks for being with us on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You take care, and you have a wonderful rest of your day. And again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Jim Masters, thanking you for your time. This time till next time. Stay tuned. In less than 30 minutes, I'll be back live with another great guest from around the world right here exclusively on the award-winning Close-Up Radio. For everybody here, Jim Masters, thanks for being with us. Take care, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye for now.